Good morning, everyone, and welcome to ECL's first quarter 2013 results conference call. If you need a copy of the press release issued yesterday, it is available on the company's website at www.e-cl.cl. Before we begin, I would like to remind everyone that this call is being recorded, and the information discussed today may include forward-looking statements regarding the company's financial and operating performance. All projections are subject to risk and uncertainties, and actual results may differ materially. Please refer to the detailed note in the company's press release regarding forward-looking statements. I'm going to turn the call over to Mr. Lode, Virginian. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, operator. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Lode Verdeyen. I'm the CEO of ECL. Welcome to our quarterly investor conference call to discuss ECL's results for the first quarter of 2013. With me are Carlos Freitas, CFO, Bernardita Infante, Deputy CFO, and Marcela Munoz, our Investor Relations Officer. As you may have noticed, we are changing the format of our quarterly investor calls. We have distributed the presentation as supporting material to make it easier for you to follow the discussions of the results. The presentation is available on our website. So I hope that you now have the presentation in front of you, and we'll go straight to slide 3 to review some of the relevant events of the first quarter. On April 23, the annual shareholders meeting approved the board proposal to pay dividends equivalent to 100% of the 2012 net income for an amount of $56,178,411.82, or the equivalent of 5.3335128.1 per share. This amount will be paid on May 16 in pesos, at the observed exchange rate published by the Central Bank on May 14. For the second straight year, ECL was included as part of the IPSA index, which comprises the top 40 companies listed at the Stock Exchange of Santiago. In April 2013, ECL completed the first stage of its $170 million investment in environmental improvements, which began in 2011 and will be completed in 2014. The first stage consisted of the installation of 6 bag filters at its coal-fired plants in Tocopilla and Mejillones to reduce particulate matter emissions to comply with new regulations. Fellarate, associated to Standard & Poor's, upgraded the local rating of ECL to A+ from A, with stable outlook. In March, Codelco initiated an arbitration proceeding against ECL regarding a PPA signed in November 2009 for an amount presumable up to $42.8 million plus interest. ECL is convinced that it has fully complied with the terms of the contract and therefore believes that the cause is without merit. In early January 2013, we had to take out of service our CTA and CTH units due to leakages found in the cooling system of both plants. The pipes were repaired and both units came back to service. CTH on January 25 and CTA on January 28. The economic impact of the stoppage, as well as the potential responsibility of the construction contractor, are still under study. Some measures, such as advancing maintenance works programmed for a later stage, were taken to mitigate this impact. Both plants have been operating normally since then. Now please go to slide 4 to go over the quarter's financial highlights. Before getting into the numbers, I'd like to highlight two things. In first place, because of a change in IFRS rules, we could no longer apply proportional consolidation to our subsidiary CTH. Beginning 2013, we are consolidating 100% of CTH. And to facilitate the comparison, we have adjusted all prior figures as if CTH had been 100% consolidated. In second place, we will compare first quarter figures with the numbers of the fourth quarter of 2012. We will not compare against the figures for the first quarter of last year, as these were affected by several factors that are no longer applicable for CL. We believe that the comparison against fourth quarter figures is more relevant in understanding ECL's future earnings potential. For example, as you are probably aware, the LNG supply agreement whereby mining companies bought LNG from the Mejillones terminal and sold it to electricity generation companies for its conversion into electricity was still in effect in the first quarter of 2012, but it ended in September. In the first quarter of 2012, we had a mismatch between the tariff of the ML contract and the cost of the fuel that was necessary to meet that contract, although the impact of this mismatch was not felt until the second quarter. In the last month of 2012, ECL returned to operate completely on a traditional basis, that is, buying all the fuel needed for electricity generation. It is now also buying LNG at Henry Hub-based price, which is the same index used for the EML PPA. This mismatch existing through most of 2012 has therefore ended. Finally, throughout 2012, the tariff mix of our unregulated client portfolio changed to better reflect the new generation mix, with greater weight of coal generation after coal-fired plants began operations in 2011. In the last quarter of 2012, this process ended and no more tariff reviews are foreseen for the near term. So, going to slide 4, it shows that operating revenues decreased 6% in the first quarter compared to the fourth quarter of last year, mainly because of the decrease in physical energy sales. This happens because electricity demand from mining companies typically decreases in the first quarter, while mine production levels typically peak in the last quarter of each year. Electricity prices increased slightly. Prices to unregulated clients stayed unchanged at about $115 per megawatt hour, while prices to regulated clients increased 5% to $95 per megawatt hour due to a tariff adjustment effective since March 2013. This tariff adjustment occurred since the applicable Henry Hub index used to calculate ML tariffs increased by more than 10%, triggering an automatic tariff review. Another tariff change should occur in May, since tariffs are normally reviewed every 6 months in April and October. As we will discuss further in this presentation, EBITDA reached $66.8 million, an improvement of 67% compared to the last quarter of 2012. Net income reached $16.6 million, a 32% increase compared to the fourth quarter, which is even a more relevant improvement when considering that last year's results were positively affected by non-recurring earnings on the sale of transmission assets. Net debt decreased 5% to $573.4 million, mainly due to the strong cash generation during the first quarter, as we will discuss in more detail later on. We will go quickly over the following slides, with which I'm sure you're all very familiar. In slide 6, shows the electricity industry in Chile. Please note that when excluding AES, Gener's thermal understand from the SING's installed capacity figures, we have that the SING reports total capacity of 3,955 megawatts, with ECL accounting for 54%. Slide 7 talks about the SING's characteristics, which you know well. There's no exposure to hydrologic risk in our system, and most sales are made to large and creditworthy mining clients, according to long-term bilateral contracts. Sales to distribution companies represent about 12% of the system sales. Slide 7 also shows the history of the SING in terms of generation and prices. The brown line illustrates the system marginal cost or the spot price. We can see how spot prices have been showing a declining trend after the 2008 peak. Spot prices are reaching a new equilibrium due to the installation of the LNG terminal in Mejillones in 2010 and the construction of 4 coal-based generation plants in recent years. In the first quarter of 2013, marginal cost averaged $77.9 per megawatt hour, slightly below the $78.4 per megawatt hour in the last quarter of 2012. In slide 8, you can find the list of mining projects that have been announced in Chile in the region covered by the SING. Although some of these projects are being postponed, electricity demand is expected to double in the following 10 years from the current 2,000 megawatts. This translates into growth opportunities for ECL. Our current ownership structure is shown in slide 9. GDS Suez, the leading global utility, remains as ECL controlling shareholder. The second largest shareholding group is made up of the Chilean pension funds, which have steadily increased their participation in ECL to the current 25%. Foreign institutional investors have decreased their share, while local institutional shareholders have increased their share to 12.79%. Slide 10 shows that ECL is clearly the largest and most diversified generation company in the SING, serving over 60% of the system's demand. In the last 5 years, its installed capacity has grown by 29% to 2,135 megawatts. As more clearly shown in slide 11, coal accounts for 52% of ECL's installed capacity. Gas capacity follows with 32%. ECL also owns gas pipelines, the Tocopilla port, and 2,287 kilometers of transmission lines. In December 2012, we sold the 174-kilometer-long Crucero Lagunas transmission line to Transelec. This line was recently declared part of the trunk transmission network by the authority, and as a trunk line, the authority requires that certain upgrade investments are made. Since transmission is not considered to be ECL's core business, we decided to sell this line. The sale resulted in a non-recurrent after-tax earnings of $20 million in the fourth quarter of 2012. In slide number 12, we provide our current commercial status. Our policy is to engage in PPAs for up to the equivalent of our efficient installed capacity, which reaches 1,240 megawatts. This number results from the sum of our coal-based gross installed capacity minus spinning reserve, self-consumption, an estimated forced outage rate, and 300 megawatts of gas capacity. For 2013, the estimated consumption under our PPAs is 1,269 megawatts, which means that ECL is slightly overcontracted. However, ECL has sufficient backup capacity and also has portions of its contract portfolio with prices linked to diesel or marginal costs. For the following years, we can see a comfortable situation with no major PPA maturities until 2017. The remaining average life of our contracts is 10 years, therefore the recontracting risk is low for now. Slide 13 shows that coal costs account for almost 63% of the overall tariff indexation of our portfolio. Coal is followed by LNG indexation, the most relevant of which is the TML contract. The third most relevant indexation is CPI, which applies to the non-fuel portion of our costs. Then, slides 15 through 21 provides an overview of our project. As shown in slide 15, we continue participating in conversations and bidding processes with potential off-takers that could trigger the construction of our Infraestructura Energética Mejillones project, consisting of up to 2 coal-fired power plants, each with gross capacity of 375 megawatts, including a new port facility. In addition to the mining projects under study in the SING, there are significant mining developments in the Norte Chico region of the SIC, with mining companies increasingly concerned about securing their power supply at reasonable prices. If a transmission line connecting our plants in Mejillones to the northern segment of the SIC is built, as shown in slide 18, we could be in a position to supply mining projects in the SIC region, thus expanding our universe of potential power off-takers. The execution of PPAs is the key item that will trigger the decision to build one or two of these units. We continue to work on the capital structure of the project and the selection of the key parties, such as potential financial providers, and have selected the EPC contractor. In slide 16, we talk about Electrica Monte Redondo, the company owned by GDF Suez that operates in the SIC. EMR comprises a 48-megawatt wind farm in operation and the 34-megawatt Laja hydro plant under construction, with estimated commercial operation date in the third quarter of this year. Since GDF Suez has stated that ECL will be its investment vehicle for the electricity generation business in Chile, ECL intends to acquire EMR from GDF Suez once the Laja plant is completed. This acquisition will help ECL to establish a presence in the SIC and to increase its footprint in renewable energy. As a transaction between related companies, The acquisition will be subject to strict corporate transparency standards. The committee, the directors, with majority of independent board members, will be in charge of analyzing the conditions and providing a recommendation for this potential acquisition. As explained in slide 17, ECL has begun to develop a pilot photovoltaic solar project in association with Kiborax, a mining company. This project is called El Aguila 1. It has 2 megawatts and has been developed as a pilot project, which should start operations in July 2013. The next step is the 40 megawatt project El Aguila 2, which could represent an $80 million investment. The environmental permit application has been filed. As discussed in slide 19, stricter particulate matter and gas emissions requirements were approved by Chilean authorities in 2011. ECL is investing to comply with the new emissions requirements well before the due dates. The estimated capital expenditures will amount to approximately $170 million over the 2011-2015 period, of which more than half has already been incurred. In April 2013, ECL completed the first stage of the program, which consisted in installation of 6 PAC filters at its coal-fired plants in Tocopilla and Mejillones, hence reducing particulate matter emissions. Slide 20 shows some of ECL's initiatives regarding innovation, social responsibility, and non-conventional energy development. On this occasion, we would like to highlight the development of the tropical fish cobia in ponds fed with warm water coming out of the cooling systems of our coal-fired plants. An independent entrepreneur in association with ECL is developing this initiative that is an example of innovation and social responsibility, as it could represent a future employment alternative for the fishing communities in Mejillones. Slide 21 provides details of our capital expenditure program. This program does not consider any investments in major expansion projects. It does include projects currently under development, such as the El Aguila Uno solar project, and preliminary project studies and preparation works for all the projects. Our capital expenditure program for 2013 considers investing over $180 million, primarily in plant maintenance and environmental improvement program to reduce particulate matter and gas emissions. Now, let's go to the following section to discuss third quarter results. On slide 23, you may see physical generation and sales statistics. As discussed earlier, physical sales decreased 2% due to the normal slowdown in demand from mining companies during the first months of the year. About 85% of electricity sold came from the company's own generation, with 15% of the power acquired from the spot market. In the first quarter, ECL bought 369 gigawatt hours from the spot market, down from 410 gigawatt hours in the fourth quarter of last year. In both quarters, we had power plants out of service. In the fourth quarter of 2012, CTH was out of service due to an operational failure, and during this period, we performed the regular maintenance works that would have in any case required to plant the plants to be out of service for at least 20 days. Also, we are expecting insurance payments to cover the business interruption and physical damage costs. We already recognized $7 million in compensations in 2012 and expect to report an additional amount during 2013. In the first quarter, leakages found in the civil works of the water intake pipes led us to take CTA and CTH out of service for approximately 20 days. The pipes were repaired and the plants have been working normally since the last week of January. During this outage, we performed regular maintenance works in CTA to shorten the next scheduled maintenance outage. On the right bottom corner of the slide, we can see how both PPA tariffs and market prices have shown a decreasing trend in the SING in the last 3 years as a reflection of the system lower average generation costs after startup of approximately 800 megawatts of new coal capacity. Now let's move to slide 24. Here we can see the significant EBITDA and net income improvements when compared to the fourth quarter of the last year. While tariffs to unregulated clients remained stable, tariffs to distribution companies began to recover due to an increase in Henry Hub gas prices. EBITDA increased 67% and 77% excluding non-recurring items. The main reasons behind EBITDA improvements are the following. In first place, in the first quarter of 2013, we reported lower LNG supply costs, representing the end of the mismatch between fuel costs and the ML PPA tariff. Secondly, as stated earlier, in both quarters we had planned outages, but the impact of the fourth quarter CTA outage was larger. This was due to the longer duration of the outage and greater pressure on spot prices, because this outage occurred during a period of high demand. And lastly, during the fourth quarter of 2012, we had more significant non-recurring items which affected the income statement in both directions. The evolution of EBITDA can be more clearly seen in the following slide. In slide 25 shows that the most significant variation comes from an improvement in the operating margin. This is largely explained by the end of the mismatch between the tariff and the fuel costs associated to the ML contract, and also by the lower cost of our purchases of energy on the spot market. We also reported lower operating and maintenance costs and savings in sales and administration expenses. As said earlier, the fourth quarter of last year was affected by non-recurring items. On the negative side, we had a $3.4 million provision on the payment by YPF of its debt with ECL in Argentine pesos, and we reported a $4.2 million provision for uncollectible accounts. On the positive side, we recognized $9.8 million in insurance compensation, including $7 million for the CTH outage. In the final column of this slide, we give an indication of the cost of the CTA and CTH outage. According to our internal estimates, this cost reached approximately $60 million, including both the direct impact on CTA and CTH in terms of having to buy energy on the spot market to meet their contracts, and the indirect effect on ECL. The outage puts pressure on the spot prices, turning ECL's spot energy purchases more expensive than if the outages had not occurred. The following slide, number 26, shows the evolution of net income. Again, we see that the net income improvement is largely explained by operating factors, namely the margin increase and lower operating costs. Foreign exchange income also contributed to explain a $4 million improvement in net income. However, in the first quarter, we did not report the significant non-recurring income reported last year as a result of the sale of Crucero Laguna's transmission line. In the first quarter of 2013, ECL reported consolidated net income after taxes of $17.9 million, $16.6 million of which corresponds to ECL itself, and $1.2 million to the 40% owner of CTH. Now, slide 27 shows that the company's liquidity and leverage. Available cash balances increased to $270 million at the end of March. Debt ratios increased as they are measured on the basis of four-quarter EBITDA figures. 2012 EBITDA was $254.7 million US when consolidating 100% of CTH. EBITDA for the 12-month period ending March 31, 2013 reached $233.5 million as the first quarter of 2012, which was 2012's strongest quarter with EBITDA of $88 million, is left out of the calculation. Therefore, gross debt to last 12 months EBITDA reached 3.4 times, while net debt to last 12 months EBITDA was 2.5 times. EBITDA to interest over the last 12 months period reached 5 times. The next slide, number 28, gives details of ECL's debt. I won't go over these details in this call, but I'd just like to highlight a couple of things. There were only two changes in ECL's debt in 2012. One was the last disbursement under the CTA project finance, which amounted to $93.7 million and took place in October 2012. The other one was ECL's acquisition of the debt that CTA had with its minority shareholder at the end of July. ECL disbursed $76 million and became CTH's sole lender. CTA will repay its debt to ECL in 10 years through equal semi-annual installments. The first one took place at the end of March. ECL has no significant debt maturities until 2021. All debt is in dollars, and most debt is at fixed rates, with only 18% of outstanding debt exposed to variable interest rate risk. The following slide on page 29 shows the evolution of net debt in the first quarter of 2013. We started with a net debt of $603 million. The main uses of cash were capital expenditure of $29 million, mainly related to an environmental improvement project and plant maintenance. We paid $11 million in interest on our 144A bonds and paid taxes for $50 million. The main sources of cash during the quarter were $50 million in cash from operations and almost $30 million in proceeds from the sale of the Crucero Laguna transmission line. The strengthening of our cash position led to a reduction in net debt to a new balance of $574 million. And then slide 30 shows dividend payments. Since investments in large projects will most likely not take place this year, and given our strong cash position, the board proposed the payment of 100% of 2012 net income as dividends. Therefore, we will pay dividends in an amount of $56.2 million on May 16. And then finally, slide 31 shows that ECL keeps an investment grade status with all our ratings unchanged except for an improvement in our local rating by Fellowrate, which is Standard & Poor's Global Associate. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of our presentation. We thank you very much for your attention, and we are now open to any questions you may have.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone at this time or any time. If at any point your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. I do ask that when you pull your question that you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound and quality. Please hold while we pull for questions. The first question comes from Louise CSA.
Hi, good morning. Can you expect further problems with CTA and CTH in the second quarter, or we can expect results to start stabilizing? Thank you.
Good morning. I'm sorry, I did not understand the first part of your question. Would you please repeat? Because the connection is not that good.
Okay, sorry. Can we expect further problems with the two power plants, CTA and CTH, on the second quarter or in forward?
No, what happens is that CTA, CTH, for the moment, there is a solution implemented which will withstand at least for the medium term. And we do not foresee to do any further works there unless maybe in 2014 when we have a final analysis made and when we come to the conclusion that some further works have to be done. In that case, we will probably do some works at the same time of a major maintenance. And so apart from some additional capex, we do not foresee more damage to our results because of that. So at the moment, we are fine with the solution, and we think we will have a normal year for 2013 operating with CTA, CTH. And if anything has to be done, it will be in 2014. With a minor impact on results.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Ezequiel Fernandez.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for taking my question. I would know if you can comment a little bit on the gas generation cost for the quarter. I know from the stats in the same webpage that ECL declared a cost of purchase of around $5.7 per MBTU. That seems a little bit low from the calculation I've made from the fuel costs. I don't know if you can give some color on that. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much for your interest. So what is happening is that we are declaring in the SEDEC the variable cost of our gas. Yeah? So this is the pure purchase cost of the gas delivered ex-ship in Mequiones. To that, you have to add the regasification cost, which is at this moment a little bit about above $3 per million BTU. And that is the total cost of the gas as it comes into the combined cycle in Tocopilla. And so the fixed cost is normally not declared in the SING, and this fixed cost is the cost that we pay for the regasification in the terminal.
Oh, that's quite clear. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Akash Sambre.
Hi, good morning. Thank you guys for the call. I guess my question is on the Codelco arbitration against ECL. I was hoping to get an update just maybe on, to the extent you can share any details on timing for an outcome and what the process looks like. Thanks.
Thank you for your question. Unfortunately, there's not too much I can say about this arbitration, except for the fact that that we have started and that we are in the process of selecting the arbiters, and that in general arbitration processes which go to the end, I mean when there's no intermediate negotiation between the parties, normally take between 2 and 3 years in Chile. So there's no outcome expected of this arbitration within the year 2013, I would say, on a reasonable basis. Sorry, does this answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thanks.
This concludes the question and answer section. At this time, I'd like to turn the call back over to ECL for any closing remarks. Sir, do you have any closing remarks?
There's no additional remark. I just want to thank everybody for their interest, and we'll be back with our next conference call somewhere in July, I think.
Thank you. This concludes today's presentation. You may now disconnect your lines at this time and have a nice day.
Thank you very much, operator.
You are welcome.
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 Very much, operator.
You are welcome.